It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
As the horizon continues to grow darker, will the day come when societies and the individuals in them begin to see past the smoke, mirrors, and lies that are pushed by the power structure and the legions of honorless order followers that serve them? Consider this timeless quote: "The individual has always had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened, but no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself." Friedrich Nietzsche. How many who have tried to tell the truth are being brutally suppressed, and how many in societies are turning two blind eyes to this suppression? Consider this new headline report: Snowden warns big tech will endure entire populations into servitude to corporations and governments. That's occurring now. From this report, tech giants such as Google and Facebook store vast amounts of personal data for their own gain, but they are also, quote, happy to hand over this data to governments, making people vulnerable to persecution. Edward Snowden has warned during an interview, "Any person can be sure that everything you've done, everything you've typed into their search box, everything you've clicked on, everything you've liked is duly recorded and stored in the enormous databanks of big tech corporations." The NSA whistleblower, Snowden, said this while addressing the UK Open Rights Group conference in London via video link from Moscow. What about other truth tellers in today's society? Top Assange defense account deleted by Twitter. One of the biggest Twitter accounts dedicated to circulating information and advocacy for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, Unity4J, has been completely removed from Twitter. The operators of the account report that they have been given no reason for its removal by Twitter staff and have received no response to their appeals. Those honorless criminal cowards who serve the power structure, which I spoke about at the beginning of this broadcast, that is who carries out this sort of action from the so-called social media sites. Honorless cowards who are participating in their own near-term demise by blindly serving the dictates of the criminal power structure. What else is hidden from us? Here's a sample of the headlines to come in this broadcast. The quake to make Los Angeles a radioactive dead zone. This report by Harvey Westerman. Nothing has been done to improve the safety of two coastal reactors upwind of 10 million people that are surrounded by earthquake faults in a tsunami zone like the one where four Fukushima reactors have already exploded. Had the recent Southern California 7.1 earthquake and all the other seismic shocks that hit in Southern California been in a slightly different location, tens of millions of people in Los Angeles could now be under an apocalyptic cloud, their lives and those of the state and nation in radioactive ruin. The likely human death toll would be in the millions. The likely property loss would be in the trillions. The forever damage to our species' food supply, ecological support systems, and long-term economy would be very far beyond any meaningful calculation. The threat to the ability of the human race to survive on this planet would be extremely significant from this event alone. The two cracked, embrittled, under-maintained, unregulated, uninsured, and uninspected atomic reactors at Diablo Canyon near San Luis Obispo would be a seething radioactive ruin. Their cores would be melting into the ground. Hydrogen explosions would be blasting the site to deadly dust. One or both melted cores would have burned into the earth and hit ground or ocean water, causing massive steam explosions with physical impacts in the range of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The huge clouds would send murderous radioactive isotopes into the atmosphere that would permanently poison the land, the oceans, the air, and circle the globe again and again and yet again, filling the lungs of billions of living things with the most potent poisons humans have ever created. The threat just outlined is but a single example of what we are not being told. While mainstream media continues to propagate the orchestrated political theater of the absurd, how bad are the latest headlines? How much time do we have on the current course? Can we yet make a difference for the better? Stay tuned for the latest and most dire breaking frontline headlines. And to those that have already fully engaged in this epic battle for the greater good, as always, I state this, my deepest gratitude to you. Let us continue with our collective efforts to wake the masses and turn the tide. Dire breaking headlines in a moment. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 206, July 20th, 2019. News most of us don't want to hear, but again, that we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7, Sunday mornings, same time slot. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. It is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, and other radio stations are picking up this broadcast because we offer it for free. Our only goal is to sound the alarm. The latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Another way to help us sound the alarm, if you're near a Jim Fair event, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E, Jim Fair has been and is an extremely dedicated ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. Visit the geoengineeringwatch.org informational booths at all Jim Fair events. Get free geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials. Help us in the critical effort to wake the masses. Again, visit the Jim Fair homepage to find out where upcoming Jim Fair events will be. And you can get into these events free, by the way, if you're there to get geoengineeringwatch.org materials. That site, again, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. This week's Jim Fair event started yesterday into tomorrow, San Rafael, California, at the Marin Center Exhibit Hall. Next week, Pleasanton, California, August 2nd through August 4th, the Alameda County Fairgrounds. Check the website for further events. Attend if you can. Get the materials you need to help wake those around you. In regard to raising awareness, credible data is key. Many individuals are contacting us at geoengineeringwatch.org and asking us about viral videos currently circulating about, quote, chemtrails, which these videos unimaginably claim are now good for us. Here is my response to these videos. The only thing that is more alarming to me than the completely out-of-control power structure, which absolutely includes all occupants of the White House, past and present, is the incomprehensibly gullible population. If we're to have any chance of making a difference at this late hour, all must take the time to rationally and objectively investigate fantastic claims like the videos I just described. Grabbing at impossible and completely false narratives in order to try and foster a false sense of hope will not help us move forward in this battle. Should we have hope? Is any sense of hope justified at this dark hour? Yes. Yes, we can, we should, we must maintain the hope that our collective efforts to sound the alarm and to reach a critical mass of awareness with populations can yet make a difference. But such a possibility only exists in standing on solid data, a solid pillar of verifiable facts. Short of this, how can we possibly expect academia to come out of the shadows and stand by us in this most critical fight? Again, sharing credible data is key. Back to frontline headlines. While the U.S. empire and the completely out-of-control military-industrial complex continues aggressive targeting of resource-rich nations like Iran and Venezuela, how is, quote, making America great again actually going? A few headlines of reality. First headline, recession looms, freight index negative for seventh month in a row. Another headline, trucking bloodbath, 2,500 truck drivers lose jobs. Another headline, bank run, Deutsche Bank clients are pulling $1 billion a day from that financial institution. Another headline, foreigners dump U.S. treasuries, liquidate a record $216 billion in U.S. stocks in 13 consecutive months. The petrodollar, the dollar as the global reserve currency, the dollar as the weapon of the U.S. empire, is done. Its days are numbered. It's imploding along with the biosphere. Biosphere implosion will force economic and societal collapse. Remember that point. Unbridled military aggression and desperation being a core component of the entire equation. Another headline, leaked UN science report warns of clash between bioenergy and food. What's that mean? It means that we are not going to be able to use food to fuel our cars and other heat engines for much longer because there's not enough to eat right now. For those who think that the planet can support industrialized society in its current form and its current population, that is mathematically as far from the truth as it could be, and we're about to find that out the hard way. More headlines. It's time to wake up to the devastating impact flying has on the environment. This is from multiple sources, but what this headline does not state, it's not just the jets, which have a huge negative impact. I do not argue that. But it's also the climate engineering operations that are dumping tens of millions of tons of highly toxic nanoparticulates into the atmosphere annually. Tens of millions of tons, particles like aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers. As I reported in last week's broadcast, now billions of those particles showing up in brains and hearts. Billions with a B. And still, the whole of academia, the whole of the science community, pretending that climate engineering that we see in the skies is not really happening. And let me backtrack. I apologize. It's not the whole of academia, because we do have a few courageous academicians that are speaking out, that are going to speak out. A few former military top brass officials also, including two major generals, going to speak out. Their statements will be in the Underproduction GeoengineeringWatch.org documentary. Back to the environment. Here's another headline. Can planting trees save our climate? Again, academia, environmental groups grabbing at straws. With the current conditions on our planet, the answer is a resounding no. And I speak from firsthand experience in Northern California, where, as I've stated on previous broadcasts, I was once able to plant up to 300 trees in a day with a 95% success rate for the first year. 95% of those trees made it through the first year. What's the success rate now? Zero. Zero. Nothing makes it through the first year. And many of the reasons for this can be directly attributed to climate engineering and its devastating impacts on the environment, destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, contaminating the rain, which is saturating soils, killing soil microbes, affecting root systems. Climate engineering is so much at the core of so much of the planetary devastation right now. And that is not to ignore other forms of anthropogenic damage to the planet. We have been unimaginably horrible stewards of this planet. Anybody who denies that is not living in reality. But the bottom line is, can't replant forests when the environment has become so harsh that those forests will not grow. On that note, the attempt to hide the severity of what's unfolding from the population. This headline, Forest Service and Trump administration propose eliminating public disclosure, input, and environmental review. So much for transparency. Week after week, we see this kind of headline. Fascist government taking over, people pretending that somehow that there's some difference between the White House and the shadow government. There's no difference. They're one and the same. It's all theater. All theater, a dog and pony show designed to distract, confuse, and divide the population and how well it's working. How many saw the White House press conference yesterday? A true freak show of the theater of the absurd. The same as previous administrations, only worse. Back to government cover-ups. Satellite data being manipulated to mask Amazon forest devastation. Hide it. That's what governments do. Hide it while they continue to loot, pillage, and plunder what's left of the planet until there's nothing left. And that day is very, very close. More hiding of critical information from the public. This headline, vaccine safety and immunization, suppressing critiques and silencing scientific evidence. That's what's happening regarding vaccinations. And just stop and consider on the vaccination situation. Whatever you do or don't know about vaccines, ask yourself this. If there was nothing wrong, if there was no danger, if there wasn't much to cover up, then why were all vaccine makers given total blanket immunity from any form of legal liability for any death and injury they caused in 1986, and it lives to this day, total blanket immunity for any death suffering they cause. It's not hard to fill in these blanks. We just need a population that's willing to summon the courage to do so. Another headline. Experts sound the alarm as Trump's nuclear safety agency weighs rollback of plant inspections. Remember what I described at the beginning of this broadcast? The ticking nuclear time bombs in Southern California, if those quakes were much nearer to those ticking time bombs, we might be in a nuclear cataclysm right now in Southern California, and it's only a matter of time. And this administration and the, quote, nuclear safety agency wants to roll back any other inspections. We live in an asylum that's being run by the criminally insane. Doesn't matter what political party. It's not about political parties. That's all part of the theater. Rise above it. Look beyond it while it can still make a difference. In regards to deception and the insane, the 50th anniversary of the moon landing is here. And let's ponder a few points on that subject. We're told that there were a total of 6 manned moon landings. Astronauts were, we're told, driving dune buggies around on the moon 50 years ago. So with that in mind, consider this statement from NASA's oldest active astronaut, Don Pettit. I've reported on this on a past broadcast, but being the 50th anniversary needs to be heard again. Contemplate this. Listen carefully.
I'd go to the moon in a nanosecond. The problem is we don't have the technology to do that anymore. We used to, but we destroyed that technology, and it's a painful process to build it back again.
So to reiterate that, according to NASA's oldest active astronaut, Don Pettit, after 50 years of advancing technology, we no longer have the technology to go to the moon. We destroyed it. And he said, in his words, it's a painful process to build it back up again. And no one else has been to the moon. No one else was ever able to make it, in spite of that 50 years of advancing technology. And things like the Van Allen radiation belts, which are extraordinarily dangerous, which the Apollo rockets could not carry enough lead shielding to carry a human life form through those belts. Shouldn't we ask ourselves these questions? Shouldn't we at least ask? Or should we blindly accept whatever the official narrative is, whether it's about this or 1,000 other subjects? Do we blindly, like sheep, accept official narratives without even exercising our sense of reason? And what an absurd example this is. We were driving dune buggies on the moon 50 years ago, but we no longer can go because we destroyed the technology. That's all I'll say about that subject. Decide for yourself. Let's move on to more nuclear holocausts that are brewing. From commondreams.org and other sources, nuclear waste is leaking into the sea on tropical islands between Australia and Hawaii, where radiation is 1,000 times higher than both Chernobyl and Fukushima. We have, in so many ways, destroyed our planet, and how many people are still clinging to the notion that there's nothing wrong, and that anybody who says there's something wrong is simply a conspiracy theorist. The facts are everywhere, and those facts are kicking in the front door right now. From this report, Marshall Islands were hit with 67 nuclear bombs between 1946 and 58. The high levels of radiation have caused cancer, diabetes, and other diseases amongst locals. Everywhere we turn, we're swimming in a sea of toxic air, toxic water, toxic everything. Speaking of which, this headline: House orders Pentagon to say if it weaponized ticks and released them. Would we put that past the Pentagon? Why would we put that past them? That's exactly what the military-industrial complex does. From this headline, the order requires the agency, the Pentagon, to say if it experimented with insects for use as a biological weapon between 1950 and 1975. The House quietly voted last week to require the Pentagon Inspector General to tell Congress whether the department experimented with weaponizing disease-carrying insects and whether they were released into the public realm, either accidentally or on purpose. If the answer is yes, then the IG must provide House and Senate Armed Services Committees with a report on the experiment's scope and scale, and whether any ticks or insects used in such experiments were released outside of any laboratory by accident or experiment design. Answer is yes, a resounding yes. You want to learn more? Read about the U.S. biolab on Plum Island and learn what happened there. And you won't like what you discover, I assure you. I want to give an update on Hurricane Barry, clearly manipulated. I did a short video report last week on this storm. With the superheating Gulf of Mexico waters and the expanding deadly algae bloom there and the massive dead zone resulting from it, this algae bloom getting worse and worse every year, extraordinarily worse this year because of the climate engineered manipulated moisture that's been pumped into the U.S., washing every imaginable toxin into the Gulf, further fueling this algae bloom. Was Hurricane Barry used in a desperate attempt to try to churn up the Gulf of Mexico, to try to hide this algae bloom for a short period in time? Hurricane Barry should have developed into a more organized storm, but it didn't. Why not? Because radio frequency transmissions and aircraft aerosol dispersions can and did keep that storm from organizing. While it wandered all over the Gulf, covering most of the Gulf with a cloud or cloud cover, and again, churning up the Gulf, did it help mitigate these expanding toxic algae blooms? No, it didn't help. This is just simply the military-industrial complex method of trying to use their weapons to mask some of the destruction that their weapons had a hand in the first place, the true definition of insanity. Hurricane Barry was also utilized, in addition to trying to churn up the Gulf in what appears to be a desperate attempt to try to mask the effects of this massive algae bloom in that region. Hurricane Barry was used as a giant evaporative cooler to try to temporarily and toxically cool down part of the U.S. That didn't last for long either, as we have record heat exploding all over the country immediately after the moisture from Barry has dissipated and they can no longer seed it with chemical ice nucleating elements. We are in truly uncharted territory in planet Earth. It is descending in an abrupt climate collapse. That is the correct climate term for what we face, abrupt climate collapse. Those who do not believe that will soon wait and see. Another headline, two new studies warn that a hotter world will be a more violent one. That's not hard to figure out. Shouldn't be hard to figure that out. From that report, as the planet warms, experts have increasingly sounded the alarm over the potential for increased climate-driven geopolitical conflict. I've said that over and over at geoengineeringwatch.org in these broadcasts, biosphere collapse will fuel military-industrial complex desperation, societal desperation, and societal chaos. The report continues, two new studies underscore how rising temperatures are likely to increase aggression and violent behavior at the individual level as well as the geopolitical level. They arrive at a similar conclusion using two very different data sets, crime in Los Angeles and terrorist attacks around the world. And we know many of those terrorist attacks in so many cases are fueled in one form or another by governments carrying out covert agendas, using terrorists as their tools. Another headline, heat is on, UK weather forecast, scorcher this week to kick off 3-month heat wave that could last until October. From that report, forecasters say warmer conditions throughout the UK are expected to last until late October. Forecasters also say that a continental heat dome will dominate the UK weather picture in the coming weeks. These aren't forecasts. These are so-called meteorologists reading the scheduled weather for what the climate engineers have planned. And the high-pressure heat domes are a direct result of ionosphere heaters that can create this heat dome. If you don't know about this technology, please just investigate. There are technologies being used that are unimaginably frightening, powerful, and harmful. We're not being told while we're being shown political theater. Another headline. Dramatic warming projected in world's major cities by 2050. From that report, future projections were estimated using established modeling that was intentionally optimistic, meaning that it assumed carbon dioxide emissions would stabilize by the middle of the century through the implementation of green policies. All fallacy. Reports like this are designed to pacify populations into thinking they have a few more years. They don't have a few more years. We will be long gone, long before 2050 on the current course. That's a mathematical and statistical certainty. Most won't make 2025 on the current course. That's a mathematical and statistical certainty. Wildlife population, 0 hour on the current course. If the die-off doesn't increase, and it is increasing, 2026. That doesn't mean Walmart's open and McDonald's is flipping Big Macs till that time. It means we're long gone before that time. The equation we face is unimaginably non-linear. We must understand that. Another headline, Indian Ocean causes drought and heat waves in South America. NOAA in the U.S. suggests that this may not have been the first time the Indian Ocean has brought extraordinary heat to the region. Again, no mention of climate engineering. Let's blame the ocean. It all started with a strong atmospheric convection over the Indian Ocean that generated a powerful planetary wave that traveled across the South Pacific to the South Atlantic, where it displaced the normal atmospheric circulation over South America. I'll comment on this in a moment. I want to finish a last excerpt from the report. The atmospheric wave produced a large area of high pressure known as a blocking high that stalled off the east coast of Brazil, said lead author Dr. Regina Rodriguez. The result of this blocking high was an unprecedented marine heat wave that amplified the unusual atmospheric conditions. Another ionosphere heater-generated heat dome, part of climate engineering. Absolutely inarguable part. There's perhaps 100 ionosphere heater facilities around the globe like HARP. None of it being acknowledged, all of it being ignored by so-called academia. Question, when will academia's betrayal of the human race and the entire web of life end? When will academia stand up and tell the whole truth and ignore their paychecks and pensions and the loss of the same, which won't matter for much longer? Back to climate chaos headlines, much of it being fueled, worsened by climate engineering operations from the watchers, news, and other sources. Rivers at highest levels since records began. 60,000 homes destroyed or damaged in Bangladesh. Another headline from gizmodo.com.au. Satellite images show vast swaths of the Arctic on fire. From that report, vast stretches of Earth's northern latitudes are on fire right now. Hot weather has engulfed a huge portion of the Arctic from Alaska to Greenland to Siberia. That has helped to create conditions that are fueling wildfires, including some truly massive ones burning in remote parts of the region that are being seen by satellites. Not a word in the U.S. Not a word. Continuing along this theme from CBC, that's Canadian mainstream media, a new report, quote, fire crews pulled from wildfire near Yellowknife that's too dangerous to fight. For the record, Yellowknife is located high in the Arctic, on the top of the world. Continuing on this theme, from the Washington Post and other sources, yet more new headlines of unprecedented wildfires, quote, Greenland wildfire, part of unusual spike in Arctic blazes. Another new report, this one from multiple sources. Climate change is making wildfires in Canada bigger, hotter, and more dangerous. From that report, in British Columbia, Alberta, and beyond, forest fires are getting larger and way more difficult to handle. Get used to it. That's what the report says. That's not my words. Get used to it. Of course, this report does not mention the climate engineering assault, which all available data makes clear is the single greatest causal factor that is fueling epic and unprecedented wildfires. Please examine the engineering wildfires section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Examine it in its entirety and learn more. And for those environmental groups that think somehow to implicate climate engineering is to ignore other forms of anthropogenic damage to the planet. That is not so. That is not the case. I am extremely familiar with all forms of human damage to the planet. We're putting 100 million barrels of fossil fuel into the atmosphere every single day. I lectured on the effects of global warming before I focused all on climate engineering because it is the superseding factor. Climate engineering has derailed the planet's ability to respond to the damage done. Climate engineering, mathematically the single most destructive human activity of all, and being ignored and marginalized by so-called environmental groups, and that is criminal, absolutely criminal. And everyone who's a part of these groups should look themselves in the mirror and ask them why they're supporting a group that would ignore the single most destructive environmental factor of all. That's total hypocrisy. There's only the whole truth or something other than the truth. And it's not just mainstream corporate media telling half-truths and lies or contributing to the distraction of populations. Alternative media is doing the same job, I am so sorry to say, including media sources like Democracy Now! On Free Speech TV and on Link TV, covering every imaginable divisive story they can while ignoring, systematically ignoring, the most critical issues of all. corporate media like Democracy Now! Receiving money from the Ford Foundation. I've given that example before, and I will continue to give it, because those on that side of the fence, thinking somehow that they are the ones telling the truth, the full truth, not true. Neither side of the fence is even close, not even close, and we don't have much time to rectify that situation, or we will be done. There is only the whole truth or something other than the truth. More headlines. Climate engineering desperation continues to fuel, again, ever more extreme weather and temperature whiplash scenarios. This new headline from weathernetwork.com is a case in point. Here's the headline, quote, "Big weather swap coming to Canada. Expect a pattern reversal soon." From that report says, "Get ready, Canada. The great weather swap is coming next week. Scheduled weather." Meteorologists are reading scripts for the scheduled weather, not forecasting. We know that from our Freedom of Information Act requests that we acquired by suing the U.S. Department of Commerce to force NOAA to give us those requests, that in fact the scheduled weather is passed down through the chain all the way to the local meteorologist level, coming ultimately from the top, Raytheon, that is a major geoengineering contractor. Scheduled weather, nothing less. So after record-shattering heat across extreme northern regions like the 90-plus degree temperatures in Alaska, with wildfires, massive wildfires, still burning across many of these regions of the far north, we have this headline to consider. Quote, "Astonishing winter-like jet stream threatens parts of Canada with July snow." Yes, snow. The report says this jet stream is for the record books, and its consequences are snowy, exclamation point. Chemical ice nucleation for weather modification to create a headline like this so that people, where it's in unimaginable harsh heat conditions, wildfires, can convince themselves that somewhere it's cold, so everything must be fine, pacifying the populations until the brutal bitter end with climate engineering operations. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Where are we headed? From quantummagazine.org, this headline, "A World Without Clouds." This is part of Venus Syndrome, by the way, which I've covered many times. The report states, "A state-of-the-art supercomputer simulation indicates that a feedback loop between global warming and cloud loss can push Earth's climate past a disastrous tipping point in as little as a century." Ridiculously false statement. We passed the tipping point perhaps two decades ago, and the single greatest destructive factor for Earth's cloud formations is what? Climate engineering. Not to deny anthropogenic warming at all, but climate engineering is destroying the ozone layer. That's killing plankton. The intense UV is killing plankton. Plankton, massive cloud producer, single greatest oxygen producer. The UV is killing forests, another massive cloud producer. It's toxifying soils, altering the hydrological cycle. Single greatest causal factor with the forest burndowns is climate engineering. Again, don't believe me? Please look at the data. Search the engineering wildfire section at geoengineeringwatch.org. A world without clouds. What kind of world do you think that will be? Venus. Closest comparison. Report continues, "Clouds currently cover about two-thirds of the planet at any moment, but computer simulations of clouds have begun to suggest that as the Earth warms, clouds become scarcer. With fewer white surfaces reflecting sunlight back to space, the Earth gets even warmer, leading to more cloud loss. This feedback loop causes warming to spiral out of control." Again, this is Venus Syndrome. Report continues, "Physicists have struggled since the 1960s to understand how global warming will affect the different kinds of clouds and how that will influence global warming in turn. For decades, clouds have been seen as by far the biggest source of uncertainty over how severe global warming will be, other than what society will do to reduce carbon emissions." Let's stop there for a moment. First, why is the climate science community struggling so much to understand what's happening with global cloud formations? Because they refuse to acknowledge the geoengineering elephant in the room and all of its effects. And as I've said over and over, and I will continue to say, there can be no legitimate discussion about the climate or the state of the climate without first and foremost acknowledging the climate engineering elephant in the sky. And unless until academia does so, academia remains a part of the deception, the criminal deception, which we will all pay the ultimate price for very, very soon on the current course. These kinds of reports are half-truths at best. I have too much to cover. I want to continue. I'm going to leave some of this report out. I can't cover it right now. From numerous sources, yet another harbinger headline of the unfolding abrupt climate collapse. Here's the headline, quote, "Widespread dangerous heat wave to expand across much of the U.S. From that report, a stifling heat wave has begun to take shape across large portions of the United States, with millions likely to see temperatures creep toward the century mark, along with even higher heat indexes by this weekend. This is also part of a high-pressure heat dome that spins clockwise in the northern hemisphere that is part of the desperate attempt to keep the Arctic cool, even if it kills the entire planet to do so. It's part of climate engineering to hide what's happening in the polar regions from the population until the last possible moment. Why? Because our lives depend on that ice, and climate engineering and the attempt to mask the polar disintegration is actually further fueling the overall fire. But that's the mentality of a military-industrial complex. Hide the problem and keep business as usual, even if you have to kill the planet to do so. Another headline from National Geographic. This report headline of gross deception. Quote, off the charts heat to affect millions in the U.S. in coming decades. That's the part that's deception. Not denying the heat, not denying the planetary meltdown. But when it states in the coming decades, again, on the current course, we won't be there. From this report, in less than 20 years, millions of people in the United States could, may, might be exposed to dangerous off-the-charts heat conditions of 127 degrees Fahrenheit or more, stated a new report that it has found in 60 years, over one-third of the population could, may, might, exposed to such conditions. In 60 years? How about today? How about right now? How about heat indexes in India and the Middle East of 165? Feels like temperatures of 165 already happening. Some of it happened in spring before summer even hit. And we have National Geographic telling us that, gee, we could have a problem in 60 years. We won't be here. The planet may resemble Venus in 60 years. Total pacification of the populations. Please don't believe me. Look at frontline data. Look at the facts. Look at the mathematical trajectories. Look around you. Look up. Look past this kind of propaganda from official sources. And yes, National Geographic is an official propaganda source in so many ways. Moving on, there is this new headline of intense heat to consider. Record warm water in Arctic River likely caused heart attacks in salmon. From the report, never before seen temperatures in the Kuskokwim River in the Arctic likely sent salmon into cardiac arrest. That's how warm the waters were. Some Alaskan rivers, 80 degrees, 82 degrees. Reported on that in a previous broadcast. From CBC, Canadian mainstream media, this new report. Heat warning issued for Northwest Territory community. So part of Canada in total meltdown, the other part getting July snow. This is not nature. This is climate engineering. New from World Economic Forum, this statement. Russia's permafrost is melting and it could, may, might have a devastating global effect. An environmental ambitious cycle is taking hold in Russia and other parts of the Arctic as permafrost, the frozen ground beneath a quarter of the northern hemisphere and almost 20% of Earth's landmass, thaws. Why is this so dire? As I've been over again and again, formerly frozen methane deposits are thawing. That gas is migrating into the atmosphere, covering the planet like a layer of glass. Methane is 100 to 120 times more potent than CO2 over a 10-year time horizon. Nighttime low temperatures rising twice as fast as daytime highs because of this. Greenhouse gases. No, it doesn't just float off into outer space as some people would like to believe. We live in a fishbowl. It stays here. The atmosphere is why our planet was habitable to begin with. When you thicken that blanket, you increase the heat, period. Heat gets in, doesn't get out. But wait, back to those headlines the geoengineers love to create. Here's one of those. Air mass from Alaska kills summer weather across San Francisco Bay Area. A cool air mass from Alaska set off the coast of San Francisco Bay early Tuesday, ushering in a chilly blast of dreary weather with breezy conditions below normal temperatures. Wait, Alaska's in total heat wave meltdown. How could an air mass from Alaska be named as the responsible factor for a cool down in San Francisco? Does that even make sense? No, but it sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds convincing. Causes populations to be confused and divided on this true state of the climate until there's nothing left. Purpose for those types of headlines. That's what it is. Continuing on this theme, deception. There's this stunning example of disinformation. Climate change hoax collapses as new science finds human activity has virtually zero impact on global temperatures. Where did that come from? And there is this question. Why would sources or sites that claim to be fighting climate engineering publish and propagate such a verifiably false claim as this? Back to the first question. Where did this come from? It is a non-peer-reviewed manuscript that made completely false claims about natural cloud changes, which they say explains global warming. There's nothing natural about the cloud-governed planet Earth at this point. It is completely derailed, disrupted, and completely a result of climate engineering, which is destroying the planet's natural ability to make clouds in exchange for toxic particulate clouds that are destroying the planet's life support systems from top to bottom. So again, when this type of information serves those who want to push the narrative that there's nothing wrong with the planet, which is exactly what the power structure and the climate engineers want pushed, how can those same sites claim to be fighting the power structure or fighting climate engineering? They can't. It's total hypocrisy, total disinformation. Learn to share the truth. There is only the whole truth or something other than the truth. Don't circulate false data unless you want to harm any chance we have at altering the current course, which means we face certain near-term global omnicide. Now, let's look at statistics. What does a real science and statistical study conclude in regard to the mathematical odds that the unfolding abrupt climate collapse is human-caused? Science and statistical studies have compared the current climate disruptions with paleo data from Earth's entire history. What do these statistics and mathematical calculations reveal? Here's the math. 99.999% certainty that human activity is driving global warming. From this statistical study published in the Journal of Climate Risk Management, our research is the first to quantify the probability of historical changes in global temperatures and examines the links to greenhouse gas emissions. Doesn't even mention climate engineering, which is further fueling the equation. Using rigorous statistical techniques, there is a less than one chance in 100,000 that global average temperatures over the past 60 years would have been as high without human-caused greenhouse gas emissions. Our new research has shown, our new CICERO, this is a science group in the Southern Hemisphere, work provides objective assessment linking global temperature increases to human activity, which points to a near certain probability exceeding 99.999% that the warming is human related. Here's a question. If you have someone, I've used this example before, but you run somebody over in a crosswalk and then maybe you jump out and shoot them several times, you beat them up with a baseball bat, and then you claim they died of a heart attack. Do you think you could make that case in court? Really? What rational person could believe that we could cut down the forests, poison the oceans, pave the planet, destroy the atmosphere, not have an effect, all of which is human caused, all of it, including climate engineering at the top of the list? What rational person could completely deny all of that in exchange for clinging to an ideology which is patently absurd? And just because there's an acknowledgement of the fact that the planetary is in total meltdown is not to side with Al Gore, is not to side with carbon credits, is not to side with the unimaginably hypocritical so-called environmental organizations. It's simply to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The planet's in total meltdown, and climate engineering is further fueling the fire. Hard, verifiable, frontline data absolutely supports this conclusion. So who's behind the disinformation? This headline from Smithsonian Magazine and others, this new report, "Meet the Money Behind the Climate Denial Movement." Also the climate engineering denial as well. Nearly $1 billion a year is flowing into the organized climate change counter movement. $1 billion a year. And this is also the same movement that denies climate engineering as well. Though unfortunately, again, many who claim to be fighting climate engineering buy into the climate warming denial disinformation and are thus propagating the very narratives of the power structure that harm the effort to expose and halt climate engineering. It's quite a paradox. I hope it changes. What is academia doing? What sort of idiocy is being put out by academia to supposedly counteract what's happening to the planet, which makes them just as discreditable? From the UK Guardian and other sources, man-made Antarctic snowstorm, quote, could save coastal cities from rising seas. Here's the excerpt from this report. Blowing trillions of tons of snow on ice sheet could halt its collapse, researchers say. Think how absurdly ridiculous this is. I've covered other stories like this, the proposal to put 10 million wind turbines in the Arctic to pump cold water up from the bottom, which would release more methane, which would increase the warming, or this proposal to spray trillions of tons of snow over Antarctica using equipment that would require an immense amount of energy that would create an immense amount of heat that somehow is going to magically then cool everything. It's like turning on your air conditioner and thinking you're cooling the planet. No, you're not. You're heating the planet. That energy exchange creates more excess heat that goes into the atmosphere. You're not cooling the planet. You're cooling your room at the cost of heating the planet. And this is from so-called academia that can't admit to the geoengineering elephant in the sky, but that can come up with these preposterous proposals that are so far beyond absurd, it's ridiculous. It's not just the far right, the industrialists, the fascists that are failing the planet and pushing us towards extinction. It's the lack of the climate science community to tell the truth as well. There's more than enough fault to go around, and precious lack of reality in so many circles. If it doesn't change soon, we will reach the destination to which we are heading. And that is the end of the road for what has been. It's a mathematical fact. Everything is dying. Our forests, our ecosystems, terrestrial and aquatic, is dying at a rate that is unprecedented in Earth's history. To be clear, it's happening 170 times conservatively. This is a statistical fact as well. Conservatively, the changes that are occurring today, the die-off today, is 170 times faster than at any point in Earth's history. Not only are terrestrial species going extinct at the rate of 200 to 300 a day, our oceans are dying. We are headed for what's termed Canfield Ocean. That's a lifeless, superheated, oxygenless, dead zone. Oceans die, we die. Forests die, we die. Ozone layer collapses, we die. The planet superheats, we die. Ecosystems, habitat lost, we die. All of it is happening at once. All of it at once. And to think anybody in office cares is a grave mistake. I have met with these people on so many levels, presented data that they could not, did not deny, including meetings with now Governor Gavin Newsom in the Capitol and his top aide. Gavin absolutely knows what's unfolding. He absolutely knows climate engineering is real and ongoing. But he, like so many others in this criminal cabal we call government, are simply worried about their own personal paradigm, their own personal advancement. Absolute cowards amongst legions of cowards and order followers, power structure servants throughout the system from top to bottom. On that note, this new headline from commondreams.org and other sources, which accurately describes our near-term horizon. Quote, humanity sleepwalking toward mass extinction. From that report, politicians ignore the daily alarm bells in the science community, whether it is melting Antarctic ice caps or growing temperatures in the ocean. Yes, humanity is indeed sleepwalking toward near-term planetary omnicide. Moments before the massive tidal wave hit Sri Lanka, a man was photographed standing on an empty beach, bewildered, looking at the ocean receding before him, apparently completely aware of what was coming, much like the human race is today. But even seemingly hopeless scenarios and situations have variables, unknowns, which can tilt the scale in the right direction, even against what would seem impossible odds. We have all likely had experiences in our lives that turned out better than we dared to hope. We would all do well to remember such experiences, never to forget them. For me, one chapter stands out. In June of 2008, after a week of unprecedented climate engineering aerosol spraying operations over the state of California, thousands of lightning strikes sparked thousands of wildfires. The Golden State was incinerating. There were far too many blazes for Cal Fire and the Forest Service to fight. There wasn't nearly enough firefighting resources available. In the Northern California wilderness where I live, on the east side of Lake Shasta, one of several expanding fires had reached the crest of a ridge along the northern boundary of a habitat preserve which I maintain. As the sun rose, the clanking of the tracks in the Caterpillar D6 bulldozer obscured the sound of flames devouring foliage and trees along the ridge before me. I've operated dozers on steep terrain for over two decades. I was alone in the cab, alone in the ridge, and at that moment, on that morning, I felt a wave of hopelessness that I had never known. I did not believe I could hold the fire from crossing the ridge until help arrived, if any help was forthcoming at all. I was afraid, not just for myself, but for the forest, for creatures that lived there, all of whom were in the balance. At that most challenging and desperate moment for me, perhaps the most trying, difficult, and desperate moment I had ever experienced. A single thought, a single focus took over. I had to try. The memories of that day are burned into my mind. Through the smoke and the flames, I experienced a waxing and waning of hope as the day wore on. I felt the justifiable rage toward the criminal cabal that carries out the climate engineering insanity, which is a major factor with the wildfires. Climate engineers that have no regard for the web of life. I kept my focus on the task at hand, stopping the fire from crossing the ridge. At the end of this longest of days, help arrived. The fire had been held back. As the sun set and I had a moment alone, away from the fire line, I could scarcely believe how the day had turned out. I pondered what may have helped, something from somewhere, somehow. The following day, the fire again made a run at the ridge, this time crossing the top. Overwhelming feelings of despair and desperation returned for me. I engaged the fire with my dozer in a last attempt to stop the flames from crossing a ravine and climbing the next ridge where it would be unstoppable. I knew this. Though firefighting agencies were still on the scene, the flames jumping over the ridge were not expected. And I suddenly found myself in a situation that was even worse than the previous day. Immersed in downed trees with flames on all sides, on a dozer that was not designed for fighting fires, I will never forget what I felt at that moment and what came next. Everything went dark as what sounded like a tidal wave hit the cab of my dozer. In that instant, I had no idea what had happened. But in seconds, all was clear. Someone, I believe from CAL FIRE, had delivered me a lifeline. I had received a direct hit from an aircraft fire suppression drop. With so many fires burning all over the state, and with no available resources, somehow, some way, an airdrop showed up at the most critical moment possible. I will be forever grateful and in debt to the individual or individuals who delivered me on this day. I was able to continue my effort to fight what was known as the Stein Fire, along with the agencies on the scene. Because I was the most familiar with the wilderness in that area, I was asked by these agencies to pioneer the fuel break with my dozer down the ridge to Lake Shasta, which I did. The fire was halted on this ridge, and against all odds, and with the help of CAL FIRE and other agencies, my habitat preserve remains to this day. Please forgive me for this rant. I generally try to avoid doing so. But here's the point. We must always remember, always, that no matter what happens, no matter what we face, no matter how daunting the challenge, we are only responsible for doing our best, for correctly exercising our own will. If we can do this, if we are willing to face the gathering storm head on, with unyielding resolve, it is the greatest leap we can collectively make in the right direction. Yes, the horizon before us is dim indeed. I cannot deny this fact. But our fate is not yet written in stone. How can we find our way through? On the darkest days I have faced in my life, when it seemed I had an endless, deep, dark forest before me that could not be crossed, I have pictured a brilliant mountain on the other side of the dark and seemingly uncrossable forest, a mountain that rose above it all, a mountain that I had to reach. If we imagine and remember always that if we follow a correct compass heading, again with unyielding resolve, we can, we will cross this forest. We can reach the mountain on the other side. What is a correct compass heading? A right and moral purpose, the correct use of our will, the only thing we can truly call our own, and the use of that will for the greater good. This is all we are ever responsible for in this life. If we are not here for this, then for what? Our collective efforts can make a difference even at this late hour, but only if we apply ourselves fully to the challenge at hand. We are not helpless. Those in power are not gods. Make your voice heard. See the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to find out how you can help to sound the alarm. Make every day count. Time is not on our side. Until next week, this is Dane Wigginton with geoengineeringwatch.org.